Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, Talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Meet the Mets, meet the Mets.
It is that time of the week. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our man Teron Davenport to the program, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law, TD, with us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Teron, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
Good morning, man. It was just this time last week. I had some optimism about my Mets, but boy, oh boy, reality has sunk in soon.
It's early. I was giving up on my Tigers a week ago. So.
Yeah. What a mess. But hey, on a positive note, Robbie, congrats on completing another season covering the Preds, man. That's awesome. And I couldn't imagine being able to cover the team that you grew up loving, man. I'm sure that's a great feeling, man. Congrats on that.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Yeah, 16 seasons in the books last night, which is hard to believe.
Dang.
But it goes by very quickly this time around.
You're getting old.
So, I am. There's no doubt about that. So the lack of hair and the gray in the beard would definitely suggest that. So, TD, we were talking earlier in the show about Mike Borgonzi and his press conference yesterday. And, look, I really enjoy Mike Borgonzi. I think he, in some ways, he's kind of mastered the art of saying a lot of things but not really saying anything at all. But I did enjoy his press conference yesterday. If you had to walk out of there, TD, with one prevailing takeaway, what do you think it was for you yesterday?
That's a really good question. One prevailing takeaway.
Was there one?
There's so many directions. But you know what? Let's start with this. He seemed to have accepted the fact that they are more than likely going to have to draft, not have to, but they're going to be steered in a direction of drafting a non-premium position at number four. I think that's really interesting, because I asked him if this is a unique draft from that perspective, and he said yes, and that's when he pointed to Love and Jeremiah Love and the Ohio State defenders. That's what he said, the safety and linebacker. And I think, you know, you look at that, and it really seems like the direction there that it's going is it's going to be Love versus Stiles, and man,
yeah,
two non-premium positions.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my question for you, TD, because we were talking about it earlier, and like PK sort of assessed, he read into, like, early on, asked about Love. Borgonzi mentions like the edge guys, doesn't mention Stiles, but I thought when he was asked later, I think that was by Love gossip columnist Stilly, if I'm not mistaken, but when he was asked later about him about Stiles, I thought he borderline gushed as he's talking about, yeah, the things we all know, like Stiles, like testing off the charts and everything. So the question being, like, do you come away more or less, not convinced, but potentially believing that at four they might make the Stiles choice?
I come away believing that that's very possible. And I think, you know, the main thing, and I tried to get something out of him as well, you know, asking, well, you know, is this scheme, does this make middle linebacker a premium position as opposed to a lot of other schemes? And that's when he got into Tremaine Edwards and Fred Warner. I think it's really Styles versus Love, and I think they go Styles here, man. I really do, and I know a lot of fans are going to be upset, but you got to remember, like there's what, 7 or 8 other draft picks, including pick 35. So,
well, TD, speaking of pick 35, I threw this scenario out there earlier because, look, as you are very well aware, Titans fans are totally over the idea of drafting offensive tackles, considering how many offensive tackles that they have drafted over the last 5 years. But, like, you know, as Borgonzi said yesterday, those big guys, like, you know, they're hard to find. And if you go Jeremiah Love at number 4, and let's say they do draft an offensive tackle at number 35, and whoever it is their best player on the board, you know, you're helping out your, number 1, your quarterback, but number 2, Jeremiah Love, by doing that. So, like, well, what would you make of it if that's the way it plays out and it's, you know, either Styles at 4 or Love at 4, and then they go offensive tackle at 35?
Man, listen, if they go Styles at 4 and then tackle at 35.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Are you ready for the fan response to that, TD?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to say no.
Turn off your mentions.
But I see what you're saying, though. And if they do that, like if they go tackle at 35, you know, I think a guy like Dan Moore Jr., like he has to be like, uh-oh. Because essentially that's, you know, that's saying, hey, we got your replacement. You got another year and you're out of here. And I think Max Iheanacho out of Arizona State, that's a good option at 35. Don't be surprised if it's a guard, too. You know, and if they want Jeremiah Love in a guard, I think that would be more palatable to the fans than Styles and a guard, but man, like it could get pretty ugly.
Yeah, it kind of sounds fun to me actually, but we'll see. Now, so you mentioned Love. There's another thing that a little bit of arguing today, TD, and I've heard this some, and it's like this one needs to go away, which is the idea of how could you draft Love when the offensive line is in this position? I mean, to me, if you have a chance to draft a great football player, you draft a great football player. You don't have to have perfect, you know, conditions. I mean, obviously, we talked about Cam Ward last year. Can they support him? You know, and that was a fair discussion. But to me, it's like, I mean, Ashton Jeanty didn't have a great rookie year, but the Raiders are probably so glad they have him, and the idea is to improve around him, right? So that idea, also just the run blocking aspect of this line, it seems like people forgot that it actually got to a pretty decent place last year.
Thank you. And as you were saying, how could you draft Love with this offensive line? That's immediately what I thought too, right? And Robert Saleh said it himself. Hey, man, Tony Pollard had 100 yards rushing against me last year. Like, you know what I'm saying? And you look at that stretch. I mean, say what you want, but Pollard and Spear, like, they were toting that rock, man. And the lanes were opening for them, and they were able to run the football. So, you know, I don't think it would be a negative thing to draft him with this offensive line how it is. I mean, obviously, you know, you still got to figure out the right guard situation, the center. You know, Sloatman is looks like he's going to have that. Jackson Slater, if he takes over at guard now. You know, you got one of the guys that played for you at the end of the year. So I don't think the offensive line is in as much shambles as people seem to believe. Is it top tier? Of course not. But is it bottom of the barrel? Not there either. So I don't think it's at a point where it's a detriment to a Jeremiah Love. And you got to remember, Jeremiah Love, he also has that BYOB. And I ain't talking about bringing your own beer. He brings his own blocker, you know what I mean? And sometimes he could bounce it outside and run away from a guy that, you know, is in the backfield to get the TFL. Or he could spin out of a tackle. You saw what he did against Pittsburgh. Obviously, it was down the field, but he could do that same thing in the backfield. Like, he has elusiveness if that needs to come into play.
Like, do we think every great running back or running back season in this league had a great offensive line? No, great running backs have overcome bad offensive lines. I mean, I can tell you about Barry Sanders. Now, he had good lines at times, but then it got worse, and he continued to be great, right? I mean,
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like, not everybody's going to be blessed the way Emmitt Smith was, you know, not
thank you.
He's 4 yards down the field, you know, and nothing to, not to take anything away from Emmitt, because he's durable as a daggone, whatever you want, a Honda Accord, you know what I mean? But he just, you know, had an advantage blocking wise.
So, TD, you know, when Ward got hurt in the last game of the year in Jacksonville, I think some of the initial fears from Titans fans were, well, you know, how deep in the offseason is that going to linger? Mm-hmm. How much is that going to limit his work? And to see that he could be participating in mini camp in June, he's already throwing the ball. Like, I feel like that's really good. The more time he can get with Brian Daboll, the better. So, you know, how big a deal is it from your standpoint of him making as much progress and being as on track as he is in the shoulder recovery?
Yeah, it's huge, as PK would say. You know what I mean? It's big time, because when you look at, as you mentioned, needing to get that on the field work with Brian Daboll and get to that level where he's, you know, above surface level understanding of the offense, right? You want him to master it so he could just play. But the thing that I like about all of this is when he spoke to us at the locker room cleanout, the end of the year presser, he said he wasn't concerned about the offseason program because his goal was to tweak the mechanics with the footwork. And now you have Daboll come in, and Dable's like, hey, man, we're not going to tweak his throwing motion. We want the footwork to be right. So here it was, they were on the same page before they were even together. You know what I mean? And you look at that, and what Daboll wants is for him to be able to play better in the pocket, right? And the footwork is going to get there so he can hit his landmarks, et cetera. But he still wants him to be able to make those off-schedule plays and do those things. So he's still encouraging it. So I think you look at everything, it's really good that he's getting on the field and going to be able to, likely to be able to throw, because it's just more work, more banked reps, and more opportunities to get a better grasp of the offense. Then not to mention getting the timing down. You got a new slot receiver, and that slot receiver and quarterback relationship, it's different, because you've got to be on the same page all the time and read the defenses correctly, you know, together and react together also. So there's a lot involved with that. Getting him on the field, it's big time for them.
TD, I know you've discussed it this week, but just one more time, want to acknowledge the loss of Dave McGinnis as we kind of sort through that this week, and just the impact that he had on you being around him.
Man, you know, it's funny. My heart dropped, what was it, Wednesday, I think it was. I was driving, and I saw a black Ford Explorer, you know, tinted out, and I'm just like, damn. You know, this is a guy that, you know, I say no bad days and stuff like that, and I try to, you know, I strive to live that way. This dude, I've never seen him, like, have a bad day, man. Every day, you know, you're walking into the facility and you hear this voice, and it's him, and he always has something funny to say. But I tell you, going back to 2019, right, I for whatever reason, like, I was down. I didn't feel like I was, you know, doing my job really well, and I remember coming to the facility the one time, and he pulled me aside and he was like, hey man, I watched your whiteboard video. TD, you really know this rhymes with it. And I was like, yo, like, how the hell did you know I needed to hear that? You know what I mean? Yeah. And I just felt so good after him saying that. And it's just the impact that he had on so many people. It's shown. I mean, you go right there, the door to the OTP, where they record their Titan show. I mean, there's notes and pictures all over the place, and I mean, man, huge impact. It's a tremendous loss. There aren't too many people who walk this planet that have the degree of realness that Coach Mack had, man. So, you know, rest in power, Coach. We all love you, and man, thank you for the impact that you had on each one of us.
Very, very well said. TD, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. And have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. And when we are, TD, we'll be talking about the first round of the draft already completed. It's exciting stuff.
Yeah, how about that, man? Time flies, you know. But I appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. Thanks, you as well. Teron Davenport with us, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. We'll take your reaction to TD. Take your questions on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Our football offseason coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works. Raise a glass with Tennessee Brew Works, proud partner and official craft beer of football offseason coverage here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. We are taking your response, your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Rex Road, as the agent of chaos that we know that you are you now totally rooting for Sonny Styles at 4 and an offensive tackle at 35?
Well, I'm rooting to watch, like, football that doesn't make my stomach turn on Sundays around here at some point. So as fun as that would be, the utter meltdowns that would take place, I'm more interested in, like, you know, actual decent football at some point materializing. Now, that could happen with that combination. If Sonny Styles is going to turn all that playmaking, what was it, 99% tackle rate last year and the ridiculous measurables, turn that into being a great player, the centerpiece of a great defense, and you finally fix your offensive line woes. It may not have as much an impact on the bottom line this year, but if the choices are correct, I'll keep an open mind on it. Look, if you want to talk about just enjoyment of watching football in the short term, I would raise my hand for Jeremiah Love, because it'll be a lot more fun next year if they go with Love. Right, you'll immediately have this young star on offense with the ball in his hands, and he'll make plays. He'll be very good. At the very least, he'll be very good with this offensive line, even if, like, the center and right guard aren't adequately addressed with whatever they've done or whatever they might do in the draft. That'll be way more fun next year. But I'm more interested in, and I think the Titans are too, and, like, are you putting in building blocks that can actually – send you toward having a great football team, and maybe Love isn't the way to go in that case.
I'm kind of pulling for it now. You know, the agent of chaos
that
I am kind of pulling for it. No,
that's, like, good.
I am totally with TD that I think it's going to come down to Love or Styles. And I would put myself a little bit more on the team Mike Herndon front of, like, I'd rather have the guy scoring touchdowns. And by the way, like, I think Styles is going to be a great player in the NFL, but I also think Jeremiah Love is going to be a great player in the NFL. So, like, to me, not that I'm some great talent evaluator or some draft guru, but watching both of them play, like, yeah, I think you're going to be fine either way if that's the way you go if you're the Titans. So I'll go Jeremiah Love. Like, I would love to see, again, no pun intended, the quarterback being helped out by a skill position player that other teams actually have to game plan for, because the Titans don't have very many of those right now.
So do you not? So you think Bailey and Reese are both going to be gone?
I think they are. Okay. I won't be stunned if they're not both gone. I will be surprised if they're not both gone.
Because the Cardinals are taking the one who isn't taken second, or because someone's moving up to three?
Because the Cardinals take the one who isn't taken second. Okay. That's my guess.
Okay. And if not, though, you would bump whichever edge is left over these two guys?
That is correct. I would go Bailey or Reese over Love and Styles. That's just me.
We agree too much on this show, but, I mean, I hate to do it, but
we're smart.
I agree with you. That's true. We're equally geniuses. Vingan continued to take strays on the YouTube chat, and Jared is, apparently, like, we think we're all smart and listeners are dumb or something. I don't know what he's trying to say.
Oh, I think there are plenty of smart listeners smarter than me.
I do, too. I said the only person who may be that kind of arrogant is Kaharsky. Let's make sure, if Vinken's going to take strays, we need to make sure Kaharsky does, too.
Mike, is there a single fan out there that's smart at all, or are they all stupid? Let us know.
Cooked carrots. Let me feed you your broccoli.
Clip it. We'll have weekend winners coming up next. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. The Nashville Sounds taking on Worcester today. The Red Sox at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 6:35. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Family Leisure. and Social Cantina. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5 The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you now
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for weekend winners here on the program. Playoffs are here, and it's a beautiful thing here in the competition. A standings update. Rex Road with the best week last week, 3-3 with his lock. Ian and I both went 1-5 with no lock. Not very good last week.
Terrible.
Which means Rex Road has vaulted back up to the top in the standings.
Let's
24
go.
And 24 overall, 4-4 in his locks, 28 points. I am 23-25, 4-4 in my locks, 27 points. Ian, 19-29 overall, 6-2 on his locks, 25 points. So still a very tight competition, but Rex Road back in first place. Joe, what does this honor mean to you?
I'm going to make a little papier-mâché crown today for myself and wear it around town.
I'm glad that you will. We begin with the Golden State Warriors, Joe's beloved Dubs, taking on the Phoenix Suns today. We're going straight up in this one because why not? Joe, who we got? Do I even need to ask?
No,
the Warriors and the Suns.
I got to go with my Dubs. Did you see Fart Face and what he said? you know who I'm talking about. Dylan.
Fart Face.
Fart Face.
Dylan Brooks?
Yeah, Dylan Brooks. He's like, I was rooting for them. Why? Steph, Draymond, Steve Kerr. That's all he said. Like, he wants to like kill them or something. I don't know. That guy's tough to stomach. But I understand people think the same thing about Draymond. But yeah, I got to go with my Dubs.
I will go with the Warriors as well, just because it's the Phoenix Suns. So I'll go with the Warriors. Ian, the Warriors and the Suns. Who you got?
I guess I'll take the Warriors. I haven't seen the Suns play once all year.
They're better.
Couldn't tell you one person on their team, other than Joe just said Dylan Brooks.
There you go.
Devin Booker.
Devin Booker's still on their team?
Yeah.
Okay. He is good. Devin Booker's good.
He's very good.
You know, I don't know. I guess to get 3.5 points, right? So we'll take the Warriors. Maybe it's a bucket.
There you go. The Warriors. Clean sweep for the Warriors straight up in this game. All right. Game one between the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars, which it's ridiculous that they're playing this series in the first round, but it is what it is, and I don't guess it's changing anytime soon. We'll go game one here straight up. Give me the Minnesota Wild to get on the road, Joe Rex Road, and to land a game one win over the Dallas Stars for John Hines and company. I'll take the Wild. Ian Safar, who we got in game one between the Wild and Stars?
This should be a pretty fun series. That game in the end of the regular season there got pretty hairy. Get a little spicy. I don't know. Something about Minnesota in the playoffs, though.
Not good.
Not good. You know, it's only game one, so it's not like, hey, this is like Minnesota playoff choke time or something like that. But I'm going to take the Stars to get things started.
Joe Rex Road, game one between the Wild and the Stars, the former North Stars.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yes, they were. In the old Norris division that I mentioned earlier, I'm going to go with the Wild, too. I'm with the Wild stealing game one. Speaking of strays in the YouTube chat, John Hines taking some preemptive strays. If they do make a run, it has nothing to do with him. You know, maybe John Hines can coach a little bit. Just saying.
It's nothing to do with the coach. Okay. It's hot tech.
People are bracing for him to win the cup.
Tennessee and Ole Miss coming up this weekend in college baseball. We'll go series winner in this one. Ian Safar, who we got?
Did not go well on the baseball last week.
Sure didn't.
So, who knows? Ole Miss.
There you go. Ole Miss. Joe Rexroad, who we got between Ole Miss and the Vols this weekend?
Yeah, I think the Vols may have turned their season around with the series against the other Mississippi team. So at home, I think I like their chances to win the series. Give me the Vols.
Give me the Vols, too. I think they win 2 of 3. So congratulations to Ole Miss for their series win this weekend. But give me the Vols to win the series. We move to the individual portion of the program. Ian Safar, who we got with your first individual selection?
Okay, I'm going to go for my lock this week. Give me my Knicks.
Guaranteed!
team.
-5.5 versus the Hawks, NBA playoffs tomorrow.
Game one.
Game one.
Well, it's tonight, right? Oh, no, it is tomorrow.
I think it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It is tomorrow. Yeah. Yep.
Rex Road, your first individual selection.
Well, I'll start with my lock, too. My Detroit Tigers, as I've already mentioned to you, have won 6 in a row, gone from 4-9 to 10-9, an incredibly dramatic. You know, I was going to send Ian some audio, some of the calls, just so I could, like, you know, I don't know, like, totally, like, geek out on the air. It's probably good I didn't do that. But tomorrow, the Tigers are in Boston. Tomorrow, this is a Saturday game. Okay. Tarik Skubal on the mound. Give me Tarik Skubal every time I get a chance to pick Tarik Skubal. Tigers straight up, make it my lock Saturday.
Guarantee.
I believe that would be Tigers -1.5, but we'll go Tigers -1.5.
Oh, okay. Are they -1.5? Because I looked and it wasn't on there. Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
The Red Sox are not good. But
yes.
It'll be the Tigers -1.5 on Saturday. Lock it down on that. Give me the Colorado Avalanche -1.5 against the LA Kings in game one and make it my lock.
Guarantee.
They might win by 5. We'll see. I mean, the Kings legitimately are good defensively, but they cannot score. I will go Colorado to totally blitz LA in game one, -1.5. Joe, they could put that line at -3.5, and I might still take it in a playoff game.
Man. It's playoffs, so, man. Weird stuff happens.
We'll see how it goes. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Okay, NBA playoffs. Rockets, Lakers. Lakers banged up. They're at home. They're getting 5.5. I'm going to take the Lakers to at least cover and possibly even surprise people and get a game one win at home.
Going with the Lakers plus the 5.5 against the Rockets. Give me Tampa and Montreal in game one. The over-under for goals is 6.5. That's going to be, number one, an awesome series. Give me the under 6.5 in game one. I think it's going to be tight out there. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of room. And I think you're going to see a pretty physical series there with two teams that aren't necessarily known for their physicality, but it's the playoffs. Give me under 6.5 goals in game one between the Lightning and the Montreal Canadiens. Ian Safari, your second individual selection.
Nashville SC at Atlanta. Dub.
Okay, you're off the draw. You're off the draw train.
Going, let him down last week on the draw train. They won the game, so that's good stuff.
Going forward, this one's tough. The Atlanta, you know, match is always kind of like a southern, you know, rivalry
grinder
thing. And Nashville, Atlanta, it's close enough. Atlanta's coming off a midweek game, too, in their U.S. Open Cup, so I'm interested to see how they respond. But I think I'm going to take Nashville SC. Dub, give me the win.
There we go. I like it. Give me the Edmonton Oilers -1.5 against the Anaheim Ducks coming up in game one. I would assume Draisaitl going to be back in there. And even if he's not, McDavid may score 7 goals by himself. Anaheim is abysmal on defense. Abysmal. But they'll hang in there. Neither team is going to be able to stop a puck in this series. I'll go the Oilers -1.5 against the Anaheim Ducks in game one. Ian Safari, your final individual selection.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the NBA. I was tinkering with that Lakers game, but I think I'm going to take the Nuggets -6.5 versus the T-Wolves at home.
Well, Nuggets -6.5 against the Timberwolves at home in game one.
Saturday.
Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
And this was almost my lock. Also, the NBA playoffs, Raptors-Cavs. I think this is not going to be a good series. The Cavs are -8.5 game one. They're going to blow them out. And I think they're going to, at worst, we're talking about a gentleman's sweep here. Give me the Cavs -8.5.
Going Cleveland -8.5 against the Toronto Raptors. Hopefully the NBA playoffs at some point provide us with a couple of good series. That'd be nice.
Oh, I think we'll have some. I think we'll have some.
The hockey ones look pretty good.
Hockey ones look better early for sure.
Overall series, they look pretty intriguing. That could be fun.
Hockey ones are always better early.
Yeah.
Will they, you know, as a hockey fan, I would like to save some of them for a little bit later. Like, I'd love to see Dallas and Minnesota and, you know, like the second round, maybe. That'd be nice. But that's just me. Let's see how it goes.
I'm sure Gary's listening.
You're Buffalo.
I'm just glad there
Buffalo,
are no
Boston. How about that? Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. Like, I'm glad there are no NBA playoff games, at least that I can tell at the moment, that have like a 20-point line, like we saw last week on the NBA lines.
Yeah, that is nice. Get away from that. Tank time's over. Thank goodness.
I will say the Celtics are favored by 12.5 in game one.
All right.
That's a large number for a playoff game.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the you always have some stinkers in the first round of the NBA.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We will wrap up the show coming up next. We got more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans, on the Preds. We'll get to it all. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, one texter asking how far down we could trade, talk about the Titans, and still having a shot at drafting Jeremiah Love. I'd put it to you this way, that 12-20 scenario we threw out of Dallas moving up earlier this week, I don't think you're moving down to 12 and still getting Jeremiah Love. Like you could maybe move down to maybe 7 or 8. Much past that, I'd have my doubts he's still there.
Yep, serious doubts. I think he's definitely going to go in the top 10. Been wrong before, but I mean, there's too many possible teams along the way as you look there close to the bottom of the top 10 that I think would have to be like, dude, this is like – I'd be surprised if Jeremiah Love, again, just straight up as a football player, you know, the big board would be lower than like 3 for many teams.
I would agree. What if Arizona takes him? That's not going to happen, I don't think. But what if he does? What if they do?
I mean,
and you get one of those edge rushers.
Yeah, for sure. It's possible. And again, Maui Noah is possible too. I didn't know about this. Eric in Buffalo, he's moving on from Smashville to the Saberhood. I did not know about the Saberhood, but that's kind of sweet. And yes, 13-year drought. Congrats to the Sabres fans. Red Wings fans, step right in and with your sucky franchise with Todd McClellan almost crying after the 8-1 loss as the season ends with his 19-second press conference. He's just completely disgusted with the Red Wings. Sorry, I keep hijacking the show for my teams today, but I see my fellow Tigers fan Jake Lyman in the house now, so we're both feeling all right now.
I really like Todd McClellan. He can get mad sometimes. He was pretty mad. It is if you're a Predators fan that's been a Predators fan for a long time. I mean, I know the rivalry with Detroit basically doesn't exist anymore because they're not in the same division or even in the same conference. But it is, as somebody who grew up at a time where they were just dominating the league, it's objectively amazing to me that they have the longest playoff drought in the National Hockey League right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really sweet. Really sweet. The Pistons are and the Tigers are taking up the slack. Todd McClellan.
The Red Wings wore teal like the Pistons did back in the day. That helped?
Maybe. Let's get some teal horses on that uni along with the winged wheel. A little teal horse riding the winged wheel? Maybe that'll fix
a reverse things. Jinx.
Yeah, there you go.
Go Bizarro.
Yeah.
How'd that horse get on the wheel there? That's amazing. Grant Hill dropping the puck for the opening faceoff? Crazy.
I'm willing to try about anything, and I'm including maybe firing my childhood hero Stevie Y. But you know, I mean, it happens, man. I love Joe Dumars too. At some point, he had to go, and you know.
You think they should fire Todd McClellan and go get the recently available Patrick Waugh to be the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? I don't even know what I would do with that. I think I'd stop watching sports.
I think you might.
I would insist on this show being a music take show only if that happens. So let's hope it doesn't.
Introductory press conference with the Beatles coming out there. Preds wrapped up their season last night. That is now 3 out of the last 4 years they've missed out on the playoffs, 2 years in a row. You know, we went through the exercise earlier of basically me throwing out to Predators fans, hey, your name general manager, what are 3 moves that you're making this offseason within the scope of realism? A lot of different thoughts on that. I would say, Joe, that Jonathan Marchessault moving on from that contract would be a common theme that was there. Some differing thoughts on whether or not Andrew Burnett should be retained as head coach. A lot of talk about UC Saros, who, by the way, was not good at all last night. Not good from UC Saros last night. It's one game, but it was bad from UC Saros last night. So
not the last impression you want to leave.
Not the last impression you want to leave. And it's just, I tell you, it is, in terms of pure direction of the franchise, right? It's probably the most interesting offseason they've ever had in terms of just purely that, because you've got, I think for the first time basically in team history, you're going to have, as Elliot Friedman has reported earlier this week, it looks like they're going external with the GM hire. You're going to have an external candidate come in and take a look at this thing from the inside out for the first time. To me, that is somebody who's followed the team since the moment they got here, that is incredibly intriguing to me heading into this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, it's the first time outside the family, so to speak, as you start this franchise with David Poyle, and you're going outside the family for the first time. So I'm with you. It's going to be fascinating and extremely intriguing. Saros, by the way, you know, ends the season with the 894 save percentage, and I don't have the, you know, where he is, but he was ranking in the right around 70s in the league and saves above expected too. It's tough stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, that obviously, you know, we talked a lot about him throughout the season and today, and he will continue to be a talking point heading into the offseason, but I mean, it's concerning. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you're talking, and again, it's more complicated than just save percentage, so that is worth remembering in this discussion, but you're talking the last 3 years, 906, 895, 894. That ain't what you want to see in the first year of a 8-year deal. So,
no.
A lot of things to figure out on that front. Joe, this time next week, we'll be breaking down the first round of the NFL draft. We will have, obviously, next week, lots of coverage on the NFL draft front. The Predators at some point, I think either late this weekend or early next week, more likely, probably going to have some of their locker room clean-out stuff, some hear from some of the veteran guys. So we'll have a lot to get to next week.
Can't wait. We're so close to... Oh, no, now we don't have the draft to talk about.
Yeah,
exactly. Yay! Mount Rushmore season. Let's go.
Exactly. That's going to do it for us. Hope everybody has an outstanding weekend. We'll be back Monday morning at 6 a.m. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.